All right, let's turn to Joel chapter 1. I'm going to talk about fasting. This is going to be the last message on fasting this season. And for all the old timers, this is a new message on fasting. It's my special gift to you. After 12 years of the same messages, I thought I would do something a little different. And so let's turn to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1, let's read verse 14. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure that you get one. If we have none left, okay, we have none left. Okay, so just share with someone next to you. Joel chapter 1, verse 14, just one verse. It says, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this is the time to consecrate a fast, God. Lord, to call all the leaders of the church, Lord, to create, Lord God, and call a solemn assembly for all the people that are part of this church, God, to come into your house to fast and pray and seek your face. God, we recognize that this is such a time as this moment, Lord, in the life of our church and in my own life, God. And so come, God, and Holy Spirit, move in our hearts, God, in such a way, Lord, that causes us to align ourselves with you and you alone. We thank you, Lord. Or right now, God, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we love you in this place, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Also want to note that the people that we're going to be thanking in the next service for their season of fasting is also Ken and Janie and Angela Yim. And so they've been doing it from day one. And so they're not here, but I just want you to for them to just be recognized for you guys. Let me just, before we get on with the message, let me just say a few words on fasting, especially for you guys that are very new to doing this. These are some of the things that you should be asking yourself during this time of fasting. Number one, ask yourself, am I confident that this desire to fast is God-given? What type of fast does God want me to undertake? Remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast. And so it's the Spirit that leads us. And I've already had people come to me, hey, P. Sam, you know, I started out doing this, and now I'm doing water, and I'm going back and forth. So is this okay? And I said, yeah, that's fine. Right? There's whatever mode is how God's speaking to you about, but let it be the Lord that's leading you instead of us operating out of what's convenient or what's for us able to do. The second question we should ask ourselves spiritually is, you know, are my motives right? Are my motives right? Is there any hidden desire in my heart to impress others? Remember, the Bible tells us your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so it's really an issue of the heart. Another question we can ask ourselves is, you know, what are my spiritual objectives during this fast? We are midway in. This is the 10th day of our fast. And so in this, what are my spiritual objectives? Is it personal sanctification? Is it intercession? Is there a special burden? Is there divine guidance that I need, a blessing? Do I want to see revival? Am I just joining the church because the church is doing this? Whatever it is, the Bible tells us to press on toward the goal. Another question you can ask is, am I determined above all else to minister to the Lord in this fast? That this fast is unto him. Am I stealing away time with God, or I'm just not eating, or not on the internet, or not on TV, or whatnot? Am I really spending time with the Lord? Remember in Acts it says they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Okay? Just a midway note here. Do not make the mistake judging the effectiveness of your fast and intercession by what you feel. Often in season prayer and fasting, you will find that it's going harder instead of easier. And sometimes you may seem to experience less rather than more liberty. This is often what happens. This is wrestling. This is a warfare. The captain of the host didn't promise you a walkover, but he said that he would join in the fight. And he gave you the weapons of warfare to win this fight. Often you will not see until much later the full results of the promise. But the promise stands, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so remember, right, we walk by faith, not by how we feel. I know that's not the verse, but add on as a commentary, right? Walk by faith and not by sight, but also we don't walk by how we feel. And so don't be led astray thinking, well, I thought that I would get angelic visitations if I'm fasting. You know, I thought that God would speak to me audibly. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he will. But a lot of times you understand that you've entered into a holy warfare as we begin this year. And so the going may be a little tougher than we imagine, okay? And so practically speaking, the weather is picking up. It's getting a little colder, so please keep warm. You have to realize that when someone is fasting, that the fire metabolism, usually we have food that fires us and keeps us warm. Well, we don't have food anymore. And so, and basically the fuel that your body's using is really low-grade fuel. And so, consequently, it's not generating its usual heat. The body, therefore, tends to feel very cold more. Like this is the coldest season for me. I feel so cold all the time. Usually, I'm always hot. You know my name, right? You know, my Korean name is Hangyeol, which literally translated means constant heat. And it's a really good name because I'm always usually hot. But usually on this time of fasting, I'm always cold for whatever reason. During this time, drink plenty of water. Shower, obviously, but shower with warm water. The hot water will actually zap you of your energy, believe it or not. Regular light exercise, but not strenuous exercise, is recommended. And obviously, if you're on any kind of liquid fast, stay away from any caffeinated drinks. Coffee, teas, as well as soft drinks would be very beneficial for you. Okay, and then next week, I'm just going to spend a little bit in talking about how to break a fast. Okay? Amen? All right, let's get to the scriptures here. There's always when we fast, there's always misunderstandings when we go through this fast. And I had a humorous adventure this week. So our whole family during this time, we all fast together as a family. I teach my kids, and so they're all fasting. My kids are fasting chocolate and ice cream right now. I thought it was cookies, but I found them eating cookies this morning. And so I realized it's chocolate chip cookies. So I had it's chocolate. So I said, okay. And then Hannah is fasting chocolate. So I thought, until one day I found her eating popping M&Ms. And she found a little stash of M&Ms, and she was eating M&Ms. I said, Hannah, I thought we're fasting chocolate. And she goes, Appa, I am fasting chocolate. I'm eating chocolate really fast. No joke. Right? And so she's thinking, this is the best fast in the world. Right? I just get to eat chocolate really fast. And so I realized, I realized I haven't talked to Hannah very much about this fasting. And so, the Bible says from the mouth of babes, right? Usually around this time, I kid you not, every single year, SP, in some circles, we get called as a cult, believe it or not. And they always wonder if I'm a cult leader. You know, I mean, if only I had that kind of charisma, you know? And it's interesting because people always say, and these are always Christians, right? These are always Christians says, what? What are you doing? You guys are a cult. You know, your pastor must be a cult leader and so on and so on. I get this every single year from all different around the corner. We are not a cult, okay? We are always, and the way I always respond is, we are only simply doing what Jesus asks us to do. Nothing more and nothing less. I taught a few weeks ago in Matthew 6, he says, when you fast. So he's not talking about if, he's talking about when you fast. But let me throw another scripture at you. If you want to turn your Bible to Mark chapter 2. It's a very interesting encounter that Jesus is having, first with the Pharisees, because they accuse him of, you know, why are you partying? Why are you hanging around with people that you shouldn't be hanging out with? And then he gives that famous report and says, hey, it's the sick that need a physician. And then the next kind of little passage in that is John's disciples go before him. And this is what they ask him. In Mark chapter 2, verse 18 to 20, He says John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. They came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So as long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day." And my response is always, you know, we're not a cult. Really, we're not. I mean, all you do is look in the dictionary, and you'll see that that's not who we are. But the simple reality is, until the bridegroom comes back, we're going to fast. Amen? Until the bridegroom, if you don't understand that language, I mean Jesus, okay? Until Jesus comes back, we're going to fast. He says, some of the disciples, they don't fast right now because they're with me. They're my attendants. And this is a special period of time, but one day the bridegroom's going to be gone. And in that day, they will fast. We're going to keep fasting until Jesus comes back. That's a simple reality. Paul himself, okay, I mean, if you, let's say you're one of these grace people and you're, you know, all about old covenant, new covenant, you know, what Jesus says doesn't matter because it was before, you know, his resurrection and all that kind of garbage, and you say that, well, let me tell you, here's what Paul says. Paul tells us here, Paul himself says he was also in fastings often. This is 2 Corinthians 11:27. This is part of his life as well as the life of the local church in the book of Acts that we'll get to in a little bit. And so the title of my message today is Why We Fast. So why? So people tell you, you know, okay, so you're not a cult, but why are you doing this? Why would you deprive your body of the nutrients and everything that it needs? So I mean, what's going on here? Why we fast. And I have 5 points for us, and we're going to go through these quickly. So, Jimmy, this may be a short message. We'll see. Number one, why we fast? We fast for intimate encounters. I was able to, actually, I'm really proud of myself, I was able to do 5 I's. And so I'm usually not good at that, but I was able to do it today. So my first I, right, for intimate encounters. You got to understand that worldly desires can distract us very easily from intimacy with God. Isn't that true? Worldly desires can very easily distract us from our intimacy with God. If you turn to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 14, in Luke 14, there's the parable of the dinner. And look what he says. In Luke 14, we'll start at verse 16. He says, "But he said to him, a certain man was giving a big dinner. He invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I have bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city, bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways along the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" Here, God, in this parable, is inviting the people around him into a relationship. He's inviting him into intimate, into a wedding feast, a banquet. You know, you invite your close friends to these kinds of events. And here's the invitation that goes out. And what happened? Excuses. The first one says, it says, "I just bought a piece of land." In other words, his possessions were worth more than coming to the Lord's feast. The second one says, "Oh, I've bought some oxen." In other words, his work was more important than going to the Lord's feast. The last one said, "I just got married, I can't go." So his relationships were worth more than going to the king at his feast. Now, I don't have time to break this down, but you got to understand all these excuses are totally lame, Right? Because in the invitation that's given in the parable of dinner, in a typical Jewish invitation, this is what we call a double invitation. And so what would happen is they would send out the first invitation and people would say, yes, I'm coming to the feast. They would be getting ready. And the double invitation is when now the servant goes out and invites him to come in. And so these are ones that I've already said, God, you know, Lord, I'm going to come to your banquet. I've already RSVP'd. I'm there. And now they're just waiting for the call and says, okay, now you can come in to dine. And in that moment, they said, oh, I got stuff to do. My work is more important. My relationships are more important. And my finances and my possessions are more important. And you got to recognize we're like that too. There's so many things that can distract us from God. There's so many things that can distract us from intimacy with the Lord. It's amazing how they just come at us again and again and again. But fasting reminds us. It brings us to this place where we try to get rid of those distractions. You know, if it's our sustenance and food, we get rid of those distractions. If it's our TV sets, if it's our internet, our Facebook, or whatever it may be that distracts us from intimacy, we put those things aside that we can go before the Lord. Fasting reminds us that we live because of God. Right? We fast for intimate encounters. You don't have to turn there, but let me just read you a passage. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, this is what he says. He says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Isn't that great? He's telling these guys, and Deuteronomy says, look, listen, you know, the Lord led you in the wilderness for this season, and I love this, and he caused you to be hungry. He caused you to be hungry. Okay, this is not talking about fasting, but I'm going to relate this to fasting. He caused you to be hungry, and then he fed you with manna. He fed you with what your father, you didn't even know it. Your fathers didn't even know it. You know why they didn't know it? The Hebrew word for manna is literally, what is this? I came, what is this? This come out of the sky? Tastes sweet? What is this? And that's the word manna. It's amazing. And so you didn't know what it was. Your fathers didn't know what it was. But God fed them supernaturally. In that same way, we're hungry, but God's feeding us. God's feeding us. He's feeding us not with bread. Do you know what I mean? He's not feeding us with the things here that we eat in our dining table, but he's feeding us with every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Isn't that awesome? That's what fasting does. Fasting brings us to this place of humility, where we just depend on God. We just depend on him, and we just draw near to him. Right? We fast for intimate encounters. We fast for intimacy. You look all through the scriptures, and you see men and women of God that fasted, and they drew so close to God. I mean, this is really the only reason, in essence, while I'm fast, I just want to be closer to God. You know, I just want God to be closer to me. I just want to love God more. I want to be more loved by the Lord. Or I should say, you can never be more loved by God. You'll always be the most loved by God. But I want to experience and feel his affection more than I do. And we fast for intimate encounters. Number two, the second I, we fast for increased power. We fast for increased power. In Matthew 17, there's a demoniac. The demoniac, the parent says, hey, you know, your disciples, what's wrong with those guys? Are losers, man. This is my translation. Right? Those guys are losers. They couldn't do anything. And so they bring the child to the Lord. And Jesus turned, and these guys said, well, why can't we do this? And Jesus turned, this is Matthew 17, 21. He says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This kind. He's dealing with this demon, a demonic assignment. And he said, this kind of spirit, it's this kind is not, your prayers are not going to be able to cut it. This kind of spirit. Right? What your faith is not going to be able to cut it, this kind of spirit. What you have right now is not going to cut it. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Bill Bright, who is the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, really, I would say in probably United States, probably one of the most influential Christian leaders of our time. He passed away a little while ago. Influential leaders of our time, but probably one that really spearheaded the charge of the 40-day fast in America. God began to speak to Bill Bright ages ago about the spiritual condition of America. And what he decided to do is he felt compelled to go on a fast. And so he started praying about it and really seeking the Lord. I mean, he was an old man at this stage, and seeking the Lord and trying to find people. He couldn't find anyone. He couldn't find anyone at that time. This is in the 1980s. Anyone in that time that fasted for 40 days. And so he went to Korea, and he met all kinds of people that fasted 40 days, and he listened to their stories, and he heard their testimonies, and he was so convicted in his heart, he came back to the United States, and he called the nation to a season of prayer and fasting. He ended up writing a book on it as well. That's in my library, an incredible book on fasting. And this is what Bill Bright says as he's talking about fasting. He says, "Fasting, as it relates to prayer, is the spiritual atomic bomb our Lord has given us to destroy the strongholds of evil." Isn't that awesome? Right? He says, "Fasting, as it relates to prayer, is the spiritual atomic bomb." Turn to your neighbor, say, "Hey, good looking, it's the bomb," right? I know, very cheesy, sorry. "That our Lord has given us to destroy the strongholds of evil." It is. It's the atomic bomb that we have. It's part of our spiritual arsenal. You want weapons of warfare? You know, Paul talks about that he's given us weapons of warfare. You want the weapon, right? Not just a little pistol, but you want the atomic bomb. Bright says it's fasting. Fasting. There's something about it. Let me give you another example for increased power. Daniel, in his 21-day fast in Daniel chapter 10, he is told, as he's fasting and praying and seeking God's face in these 21 days, at the 21st day, Gabriel, the angel comes to Daniel in Daniel 10 and says, "From the moment you prayed, Daniel, your prayers were heard, but it took 21 days for him to get there because he was being assaulted and he was fighting." Michael particularly was fighting, or I would say Gabriel was fighting the prince of Persia. And then Michael, the other archangel, came in to help. And so he was dispatched. But he says, "Yeah, I got to go back really quick because the prince of Greece is also about to come." And so we're talking about these serious territorial spirits that are at work. There are governing spirits or evil spirits that govern areas. If you remember Paul in his letter to the book of in Ephesians, Ephesians, and he says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, evil forces in heavenly places. And so there's this malevolent hierarchy of evil. And so even the verse that we read here, Jesus even said, he says, "This kind comes out." So we know there's very different kinds of evil spirits. And so he says, "This kind comes out by prayer and fasting." In that same way, Daniel's telling us that there's this terror, this evil spirit that governs the area of Persia and was combating him to delay the message. And then there's an evil spirit that governed the principality of Greece, and they were about to come in. And so there's something about Daniel's prayer and fasting that released the power for the answer of the Lord to come. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Right? Why we fast? For increased power. For increased power. Number three. Why we fast? We fast for insight and wisdom. Insight and wisdom. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, Acts 13, 2 and 3 says, "And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.' And then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Now turn to 14. Verse 23. Acts 14:23 says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed." And so we see here in the book of Acts, we see how this amazing intercourse begins to take place. And the church in Jerusalem were trying to figure out what to do. They were at an impasse. They're trying to figure out, okay, you know, when they get to this place, finally they come to the conclusion, but by the time they get to Acts 13, that the gospel is available to the Gentiles. They finally come to that. Peter finally comes to that conclusion just before this. And they get to 13 and say, okay, what are we going to do about this then? How are we going to respond to the Holy Spirit in this opportunity? And they go before the Lord and fast. They pray. And God calls, the Holy Spirit called out two particular people here, which was Barnabas and Saul, and he sent them for the work. They fasted, and God gave them insight and wisdom, gave them revelation. Right? It's, you know, and I mean, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, fasting for me, one of the greatest benefits that I get from fasting is my mind becomes so clear. It does. It becomes so clear. I hear from the Lord much easier in this place. I mean, this is an example of an example. You know, originally, I only had 4 points in this message. Number 3 actually wasn't even in there. But while we're worshiping and while I was singing, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, "Hey, you forgot something." I was like, "What? You forgot something?" You know, and I sat down and it was just so clear. Yeah, of course, insight and wisdom, right? This is because probably a lot of people here are looking for that insight and wisdom. And it's just like within 2 minutes, boom, 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 everything just comes together, right? It's fasting, man. It's something that happens. When you fast, your mind gets so sharp. Think about this. In turn of Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 is really one of the most wonderful passages in the Old Testament as it deals with fasting. And in Isaiah chapter 58, as he's talking about all this fast, let's read a little before then. Let's start at verse 6. "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh?" What happens when we fast? "Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And then you'll call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" It's powerful. What happens? "Then your light will break out like the dawn." Light. Something's going to become bright for us. Something's going to happen there. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Many of us are very familiar with this passage. Look what he says to us. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, so that you may know God's will. Now, I just present it to you. Could it be that part of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice can include fasting? I think so. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, that you may prove what the will of God is. Right? Fasting brings us insight and wisdom. It brings revelation to us. It's the light that comes from the dawn. Revelation, the definition in dictionaries is and uncovering and a bringing to light that which was previously hidden or obscurely seen. It's a supernatural communication of truth into our minds. I can't tell you how many times, again and again and again, especially in our seasons of fasting, that God speaks so clearly to me. You know, and I'll tell you, this has been my customary function, or my customary thing that I've been doing, is that when I I pray at the end of the year for our theme, and so you know our theme this year is Word and Power. I pray at the end of the year for our theme, but I don't do the preaching schedule until this season of fasting, because I know that God speaks with such wisdom and such clarity. And in fact, it's this week is my week. Usually, I like to do it in the mid-fast, because usually in the beginning of fast, I mean, honestly, I'm a little grumpy, and so I don't want to schedule things because I'm grumpy, and everyone can relate to that, right? And so about midway, and so this is a week, and so if you could pray for me this week, this is when I basically lay down the whole preaching calendar for the year, and because I just get so much insight. You know, and honestly, it just happens so fast. I usually do it in a day. I mean, I'm not bragging because it's totally not me. It's just totally God. God will just open my mind. I just get, okay, this is what we need, blah, 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 and it just come together. It's amazing. I mean, God is absolutely amazing. There's so much insight. We fast for insight and wisdom. I'm sure there's many of you here looking for direction, right? Looking for revelation in your life. This is the time to fast. Number four. We fast for intentional unity. For intentional unity. Joel 1:14 that we read just before, he said, consecrated fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Doesn't get any clearer than that. Joel calls the nation of Israel to a fast. It wasn't Joel. Samuel at Mizpah in 1 Samuel 7, Esther in Esther chapter 4, Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 9, all call the nation of Israel, all call the people of God to a fast. To be united in purpose, to be united in the fight, to be united in this discipline, and to cry out to the Lord and take a stand. It's unity. There's something, I'm telling you, there's something so beautiful, so precious about us doing it together, isn't it? And it's not just shared suffering. You know, it's like, oh yeah, you're suffering, I'm suffering too. I'm not talking about just shared suffering. I'm talking about there's something powerful about us together as a church fasting. In the middle of the American Civil War, on March 30th, 1863, Abraham Lincoln, right in the smack dab in the middle of the Civil War, proclaimed a national day for prayer and fasting, which was later approved by Congress. And in his address, in his official statement to the nation, this is exactly what he said. He says, "Now, therefore, in compliance with the request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do, by this my proclamation, designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting and prayer. And I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion." This is one of the most humblest moments in the life of this new nation. People, brothers and brothers, were killing each other. And Lincoln, as well as other members of the Senate, begin to pray, and they recognize God. And this is what they said. This is also a little bit before what I read. It says, could God be judging us as a nation for how we've been acting, particularly for slavery and many other things? But could God be judging us as a nation? Therefore, here we are killing brother and brother. And so he calls the nation to a fast. It was intentional unity. There was something about the country coming together to seek God's face, to relent, right, to bypass judgment, to seek the mercy and blessing of God in our lives. As the senior leader of Solomon's Porch, I'm making a proclamation, all SPers in Hong Kong, in Singapore, in Beijing, in our Indonesian ministry here in Hong Kong, to a season of prayer and fasting, intentional unity. Number five, the last one. Why do we fast? The last I, for impossible circumstances. For impossible circumstances. We see time and time again throughout the scriptures that God's people responded to insurmountable, impossible circumstances by humbling themselves before Him with prayer and fasting. It's what Mordecai told his niece Esther. He says, it's for such a time as this. And I've always said to you guys as a church, I've always said that we fast at the beginning of the year, right? Not only to start the year right, you know what I mean? Giving God our first, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, not just to fulfill of seeking God our first, but also to prepare ourselves for what is coming in this year, either good or bad, right? Not just to start the year off right? To put God first, but to prepare ourselves, to arm ourselves for whatever comes our way this year as a church, for either good or bad, to either prepare the way of the Lord as well as to defeat the evil one that's coming against us. And this is the time, friends. This is the time. We are in, as a church, we have situations in our body that it is impossible right now. I mean, it is impossible. If you've been coming out to early morning prayer, you know that we've been praying for Christina Chung. Christina is the wife of Kiwan, who's one of our board members. You know, I would say two of the most faithful members of our congregation. I mean, I love these guys. And last Sunday night, Christina, is for no reason whatsoever, her blood clot in her brain. And it didn't burst, right? That's an aneurysm, but it leaked. And it's creating this clot, which is pressing on parts of the brain that deal with speech and those nerves. And she's still in intensive care right now. It's been a week. It was last Sunday. Now it's been a week. It's an impossible situation. And it's interesting. I was walking to meet someone this past week, you know, to have a meeting with someone. And I ran into a couple of SPers. And they were actually going to church. They were coming here for a noontime prayer, you know, taking a break from their work to pray for Christina and other things. And we just looked at each other. And we knew this is why we're fasting. You know, I mean, we didn't have to say it. We said it, but we didn't even have to say it. And we just looked at each other. This is why we're fasting. Because things like this is going to happen within our body. And we need to be prepared. And we need to be awake, and we need to pray, and we need to seek God's face for the impossible. We need to seek God's face for a miracle. We want to see God do something. Listen, this is why we fast. It's not just a simple discipline. It's not just a routine that we do every single year in January. There's the purposes of God. Now, there's other people within the church that have all the very serious unspoken requests. I mean, dire circumstances. This is why we fast. This is why we fast together, right? To prepare the way of the Lord, but also, right, to defeat the evil one. We fast for impossible circumstances. We are facing a few. Some of you may be personally be facing an impossible circumstance. So more than a few, listen, brothers and sisters, I'm fasting for you. I'm fasting for you. Our church, you may feel like you're alone. Our church, we're sacrificing for you. We may not know fully all that's going on in the impossible situation that you're at, But this is the exact reason why we're fasting. Right? Not just for our own spiritual discipline, not so that we lose weight and all these things. No, we're fasting for impossible circumstances. And brothers and sisters, we're faced with some, even now. Right? And so, what's our response? This is what I want to say to you. Joel 1:14. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders, gather the leaders, and all the SPers and all the inhabitants of this church. Bring them into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. It's for a time just as this. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray over the impossible. Let's come with God's atomic bomb of prayer and fasting. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Prayer is not enough. Prayer and fasting. And so let's pray. Let's pray over a few of these impossible situations that I talked about today. But let's also pray about impossible situations that are invariably going to come our way as a church this year. Let's prepare the way of the Lord and let's overcome the evil one. Amen. Can I invite the church to stand to our feet? Because when you're fighting, you don't sit down. You sit down to rest. You sit down when the fighting's done. And when we fight, we stand. And let's fight. Let's pray. Brothers and sisters, let's pray for Christina. Let's pray for Christina. Let's pray that the swelling would go down. Let's pray that the clot would disappear. Let's pray that the vein would be healed. Let's pray that she'd be removed from ICU. Let's pray for Kiwon and the two girls, the kids. Let's cover the family. Let's pray for this other situation at church that's unspoken. That's a very desperate situation. Let's ask for God's intervention, God's healing, God's touch. Let's pray for other things that are coming into our year, into our way. The thief only comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Jesus, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. The enemy is trying to bring us out, take us away from the abundance of God. Let's say no right now in this place. Let's say no, you cannot and you will not. Let's go before the Lord. I had this picture. I know this is really, really cheesy, okay? But I really believe it's from the Lord. Remember Lord of the Rings? Remember when all the hobbits and you know all those guys were running through, and then Gandalf stood right there before his great enemy, the dragon? And he put his staff down and he says, "You shall not pass." And he was doing it to protect his friends. And I feel like that's the kind of prayer for today. I know it's cheesy, okay? And so some of you guys have seen Lord of the Rings, you know what I'm talking about. But it was a prayer, it was a defiant stand. And to an enemy that he was afraid of, that he feared himself. And he took his stand and he put his staff down and says, "You shall not pass." Let's tell the enemy today with the atomic bomb that God has given us in prayer and fast. Let's pray right now today. It says, "You shall not touch my church. You will not touch my friends. You will not touch Christina or these other couples. You will not touch my family. You shall not pass this point, enemy." And let's go before the Lord right now. Let's pray. Let's give God our heart right now. Thank you, God. I feel like right now, let's get a few people. Can you guys go and just surround Belinda right now? I feel like the Lord's just wanted to heal you, Belinda. Let's just get a few people right there. Let's just pray for her. If you guys are in this room and you are facing an impossible situation, I just want you to lift your hands before the Lord. We don't have to know what it is, okay? If you want to share with us, that's fine. But you're facing something right now. Just lift your hands to the Lord. This is going to be your hands of worship and your hands of surrender before God. Now, as you guys lift it, lift it nice and high. Let's surrender it. Let's leave it to the Lord. Church, let's see. Let's look at our people around us who's got their hands raised. Let's come before them. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. And we're going to go for it right now in the Lord. Let's just begin to contend in the Spirit over them. Let's just move around. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for financial breakthrough. Let's pray for relationship issues. Be broken right now in Jesus' name. Let's pray for health issues that we're contending for in God right now. Let's just begin to just stand with them. And if you can, just grab their hand that's just raised, that you're joining them in this fight. That you're proclaiming yourself with them right now. That I'm with you in this battle. So let's do that. Just have their hands raised. Just grab their hand. And let's intercede together with them. Let's just pray right now. In Jesus' name. Release, God. Release, Lord. You're the God of the impossible, God. That God is with us. He's for us. He's going to do this. So let's sing this as we continue to pray over these issues.
God is able. He will never fail. He is almighty God. Greater than all we need. Greater than all. Lift it up, lift it up.
right now, whatever it is, God, ligaments, respiratory issues, sicknesses, migraines, whatever it may be, God, right now in Jesus' name, please heal your word. Cancer, send me God now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Someone next to you says, man, I'm fasting for you. Huh? Bless you this week. Please continue to pray. Continue to seek God's face. Tomorrow, EMP at 7 in the morning. Let's come out and let's pray.